Training was totally blocked because of the trauma they had just been through. So right now, I break off any trauma that may follow any of us that would cause us not to be able to discern the signs of the time. It was only after Jesus left that they said, you know, that must have been the Lord. They didn't even realize it when he was there.
He
Lord, don't let us not realize when you're there. We don't have to wait till you're breaking the bread, Lord. We want to be able, the minute we hear your voice, you said, my sheep hear my voice. And we are the sheep of your pasture. So, Lord, I just loose a new awareness of the recognition of your voice. In Jesus' name.
And Lord, we loose this over the entire 13 colony sector of America and even Nova Scotia tonight. Lord, we loose this. We decree from Nova Scotia down to the very last key in Florida, God, that there will be a recognition of your voice in your body in Jesus' mighty name.
Thank you, Lord.
And I also pray for us to have the wisdom and discernment to understand the strategies of the enemy to keep us from being able to
hear.
And so I thank you, Lord, that we have everything that we need, and we just stand against his wiles, and that you will show us how to circumvent his attacks in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, John, actually, just following up on what you were saying about they were walking with Jesus and they were, because of the trauma, they didn't recognize him. It just reminded me of the trauma we had the other night. At 3 a.m., our fire alarms in the house went off. And in these homes, they're 85 decibel fire alarms.
Good grief.
And I was in a dead sleep, 3 in the morning, and the alarm went off and it wouldn't stop. And I didn't know if I wanted to run out of the house screaming or throw all the alarms out of the house or both. But I was totally disoriented and trying to get my wits about me while the alarm went off incessantly. It was like one of those things. Ann and I eventually got our wits about us. We had to get out a big ladder so we could get up there to shut the thing off. And it never happened before. We still don't know exactly why it happened. But I just felt like that was kind of a situation where we were traumatized. I mean, I couldn't go to sleep for an hour after that because of the trauma from it. But I do feel like, you know, we need to be ready in season enough to be able to deal with trauma, and not when these things happen that can knock us off track. You know, we need to be able to center ourselves, to center ourselves on the peace of Christ, and to stay focused on what we know he's called us to, even when there's all this churn and stuff going on. But boy, the trauma, that's now what I associate with trauma.
Amen.
Is when that thing went off.
Well, he didn't call Peter out of the boat when it was a calm day. It was a stormy, windy, boisterous day. And that's usually when we're going to get a calling. When stuff's going all crazy around us and we need to hear the word. Because what did Peter say? At your word, I'll do it. I'll step out. And so, Lord, just let us be obedient to your word in this season like we never have before. Let us recognize it. Let us understand it. And let us move with it. Like we never have, in obedience, like we never have before, in Jesus' name. Somebody trying to talk?
No.
Go ahead. Someone else.
When before Annette left, she said to me, she heard the word arrest. And she felt like God wanted to arrest us, put us in captivity so we could hear clearly because of all the distractions around us. So, Lord, arrest us.
Amen.
We're ready to be arrested. We're ready to hear your voice with clarity. Mm-hmm. And, Lord, we are also ready to hear the sound of the trumpet when the shofar blows, that it blows with clarity, that the calls are the right calls for the right moment, that they direct us and keep us in the right place. And we just thank you for the clarity of the word. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, the other day, I don't know if it was Monday or Tuesday now, but what?
I didn't say anything.
Oh. I had gotten up early in the morning and I was reading my Bible. It was about 7:30 in the morning and I heard this sound. And the sound started coming from far away and got closer and closer. It almost sounded like a big group of motorcycle riders, you know, in a distance. And when the sound got pretty clear and loud, my whole house shook and my chandelier started to shake. And it was an earthquake. We had an earthquake at like 7:25 that morning, and it was only 2.5 on the Richter scale. However, I felt what was so interesting was I heard it before I felt it. The sound, I mean, maybe that's true. It's science and I don't know it, but I'm sure it is. But the sound of the earthquake hit my ears before the shaking hit the house. And so, Lord, we say that the sound will hit our ears before the shaking hits us physically or hits our territory physically. Lord, we say we are a people. You said your sheep hear your voice. We hear the sound of heaven. And Lord, we call that in. Lord, position us. Position us for that crown when it comes. Lord, that kingdom anointing. Cause us to be there and prepared on the runway for the dropping of that kingdom anointing wherever we are, Lord God. We say, let your body be ready in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And Lord, we say, send the sound that will shake everything that needs to be shaken. There's so many things in the 13 colonies alone that need to be shaken out. Lord, we even as you say, you pick up the rug and shake out the cockroaches early in the morning. Lord, release that sound that would release that shaking in our country in Jesus' name. Someone else.
I believe it was Terry that quoted the first part of Romans 8 where creation groans. And I had just gone there prior to him stating that. But in the Passion Translation, it says, the entire universe is standing on tiptoe, yearning to see the unveiling of God's glorious sons and daughters. And but further down into it, when I think it was Kristen was talking about, you know, sounds. Is in verse 26, it says, and in similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't even know how to pray or know the best things to ask for, but the Holy Spirit rises up to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. God, the searcher of our heart, knows fully our longings, yet he also understands the desires of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit passionately pleads before God for us, his holy ones, in perfect harmony with God's plan and our destiny.
Thank you, Lord.
As long as we are pliable and authentic, and rely upon him, he helps pull those out of us. And he also translates that to the throne room for us.
So just loose that over.
Holy Spirit, we just ask that we would just give ourselves over to you. That when we don't have the words to say, we don't know what to say, and sometimes it's best for us not to speak words, that we would just cry out, give over to sounds, to moans, to pleads, the sounds that would break strongholds and bondages. through you as you super intercede for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Last night, the Lord gave me this scripture. It's from Matthew 13:22. He just spoke that scripture to me. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. And I was starting to meditate on that and a feeling he was talking about distractions that take us away from him and from the word. And there was something that Anne said earlier about threading the needle. And that reminded me of the scripture, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get to heaven. And so I feel like these two things are kind of related, that the Lord is reminding us to not get sidetracked by the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world. And the cares of this world have been very prominent in the news and in reality. And I think that in many cases, we've gotten sidetracked by those things and not focused completely on what we've heard and what we know in his word that we are to do so that we can be fruitful. So I just want to declare that, Lord, we recommit ourselves to Amen. Focusing on your word, to not be being distracted, because, Lord, we do desire to be fruitful for your kingdom, to your glory, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, and give us the ability to knock ideas. This is what I think the Lord is saying to me. This is the scripture I think the Lord gave me, and that we can bounce it off of each other to find counsel. Lord, I thank you that in several people there's good counsel in that. And so, Lord, give us the ability to have interactions with each other, Lord, that put us on the perfect path. I don't want to spend the rest of my life on a good path. I want to be on the perfect path that he has for me. And I loose that over everyone on this Zoom. The perfect path would be illuminated for you to walk all the days of your life, not to veer to the left or the right, not to be distracted to the left or right, but Lord, to stay on track the rest of your lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Someone else.
Yeah, kind of along with that, John, I kept hearing like religious logic. And I feel like the Lord wants to loose us from religious logic that is going to keep us from rightly discerning and clearly hearing what God is saying.
Amen.
So God, we break apart and pull down that religious logic that is over your people,
yes.
God, over us, God, any way that it is operating, and God, loose us into a new place of hearing revelation from God, hearing the sounds that we've never heard before, God, being able to clearly discern what's coming at us and quickly being able to discern it instead of taking time to figure it out. In Jesus' name, that religious thing that's in these original 13 colonies, God, we loose ourselves from it. We break ourselves free from it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. We break the religious confines that may have tangled themselves in us in our past. And if the truth be known, we've all come from some sort of religious trappings, all of us. Lord, we break it off us right now. We say, Lord, take it. If you got to reveal something to us, reveal it to us so we can get rid of it. Lord, we don't want to have the religious baggage carting that into this next season. Lord, we want to leave them by the curb and have the trash pick it up, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Someone else.
I really I'm going to try to explain this the best I can. I was walking down a hall one day, and I want to speak to a lady in front of me, so I did. She's about 30 to 40 feet in front of me. When I spoke to her, she didn't respond. And I watched her, and I watched as the sound caught up with her. All of a sudden, she heard me, and she turned around and responded. And my mind was saying, well, why didn't she respond in the beginning? But the sound hadn't traveled. Sound traveled through time, and it hit her. And when she heard it, a few seconds later, she turned around and responded. And I thought, wow, that was in the natural dimension. Yeah. That was one dimension of sound traveling through time. But how does sound travel from our dimension into the dimension that we're trying to pull things down and trying to make things happen? And we're praying. I don't know if I understand, and I'm patient enough to hear, to wait for the sound of prayer to accomplish what it needs to accomplish in another dimension. That was one dimension of sound traveling through time. And Lord, I just want to pray.
Yes, Lord.
That we get a better understanding of sound, and that we're patient to see the prayers that you've asked us to pray to be accomplished.
Yes.
As sound travels through this dimension into another dimension, that we become more supernatural aware of how sound affects the different dimensions, of different spiritual dimension, and we move with much more confidence because we understand how sound moves.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the demonstrations of sound that you bring to us, where we begin to understand. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Amen. Father. You know, there are sounds, I believe there's sounds that we will hear which will be key to the victory that we're looking for. In the Bible, they were told, Israel was said, wait till you hear the sound of the wind in the mulberry trees. Okay, that sound was the key to their victory. And I know, look, I'm not going off into heresy here. Every now and then, God wants to do some things that we're not used to just to see if we'll go with it. And so we might hear a sound. We might hear a bird talking. We might hear a fox hollering. I hear coyotes just about every night screaming at themselves. Look, who knows what those things mean, but there are going to be sounds that are specific to keys to the battle that you're fighting. And so, Lord, help us to have, what would it be called? The receiver tuned correctly to hear the sounds of victory. I loose the ability to hear the sounds of victory like never before. Lord, we're tired of good performances. We're tired of ties. We're tired of losses. We want complete and utter victory. And Lord, if we have to hear a sound first to go with it, let us hear the sound in Jesus' name.
You know, I just read this morning, and I think it goes with what everybody's saying. It's Isaiah 56:10. I think that's the spot where it is. And it says that all of the watchmen have become dumb, D-U-M-B, dogs. They have ceased to bark. And God was talking about the watchmen of Israel. I know everybody had a problem when the Toronto movement came, because there were some people up there on their knees going around walking like a dog and barking. And yet, in Isaiah, God likened the intercessors to barking dogs, that when the enemy would come or something would come, it didn't even have to be an enemy. It just might have been the dad coming home to the house. You know, when you've come home, your dog barks. The watchman had ceased to bark because they had ceased to hear. They weren't perceiving anymore. And when Toronto came about, it really did release a new movement of hearing the Spirit of God in a new way. And it broke open intercession in a way that had not been opened in a long time. So now I decree over the 13 colonies that the dogs are going to begin to bark. I decree it. I say the watchmen are going to begin to bark again because they're going to begin to hear again what they need to hear to protect the houses, to protect what is under their watch. I loose it in the name of Jesus.
Who let the dogs out?
Who? 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 Who?
To go along with that, I think we often have expectations of what we expect to receive in response to our prayers. So I just declare and decree that we will have your expectations, Lord, that we will see what you're doing, whether it's what we expect it to be or not.
Amen.
We will perceive the truth in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
And I think also it's what Carol said. I believe it was Carol. When we pray, he hears and he answers. There's a timing there, and we have to be so grounded on the word of God that we know he's heard and he's answering. That's our faith. Deborah, did you have something?
Maybe Deborah Davis too.
Or somebody.
Yeah.
Were you asking me or Deborah Davis?
Either one.
Either one. We said Deborah. You're both Deborahs.
Well, right then I was thinking about the Zoe life of God. That someone mentioned earlier, you know, when you're going to thread a needle, it takes complete concentration. You know, you have to be looking at it. You have to hold it still. You have to be intentional. I sew, so. And you can't really be distracted because you're getting something in a very small hole. And when we're doing that, it's easy. It's easy to function that way. What happens though is we become double-minded in a lot of areas. We become we get caught up in lifestyle. We get caught up in our livelihoods. We get caught up in different behavioral patterns when really he wants us to have spirit life, which means we're totally tuned in to him. Now, I know we have to live, but when we're using thread and a needle, our concentration has to be so pure that we can see through the needle to get the needle in. And you don't miss.
Yes.
And I just feel like, well,
that's good.
To pray against distractions and those things, because I don't think the body of Christ in general has that kind of focus yet. I think we're easily, even on good things. So, Lord, I just pray that the body of Christ, especially in the 13 colonies, that we would begin that you would break down the double-mindedness, and we would be so focused in your spirit, in the Zoe, the life of God within us, that we would be able to see through the needle, to be that focused, to be that pointed, yes, to get us where you're taking us. We don't have to be there. We just have to see with our spiritual eyes to get through. And you'll take us through in the timing. The timing is all him. It's when we lose our focus in the timing that we get into trouble. So, Lord, I just pray we will be focused. We will be determined. We will move with one accord, and we will be able to go to where you're seeing us on the other side of that of that needle hole, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
And I had one thing, and this doesn't have to do with that, but I said to the Lord, if you call on me, I'm going to say it. So today, my girls, you know, they were just going to run an errand, and when they stopped, one of them got out of the car, and the other one was in the car. And a snake, a poisonous snake, came up out of the engine area of the car and was winding around the windshield. and it came around to the side window, the passenger window. Now, she was in the driver's car, and the snake literally kept trying to get in the window. It tried different, and I don't know how, but it tried to get in the top of the window, it tried to get in the side, and it was trying, I guess it felt the cool air on the window. And so as it started to stretch itself out to go to another place to get in the window, and it stretched out long, is when it lost its grip and fell off the car. And so I feel like the enemy, now it could not get her. They could see it. She has videos. It's creepy. As a snake is trying to get in the window. And I feel like I saw the window as the enemy is seeing inside. He is seeing and he is trying to stop. And we need to be so full of spirit that thing has to fall off and die.
Amen.
Yes.
Now, it didn't die. They called whatever those people are that you call to get those kind of things. But it was, they had driven there, and it was in a parking lot. So they think wherever her car was packed, it crawled up in the engine. But it was, she said it was determined to get in the car. So, Lord, I just pray over the body of Christ right now, that every place the enemy is trying to infiltrate in the body of Christ, yes, and get in that area. Amen. Cars, yeah, and dream represent ministry, your life, yeah, your ministry, your what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Every place it was trying to get in, it is locked out, yes, and it will fall off in Jesus' name. It will fall dead in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus. We say that it will not be able to penetrate the plans and the purposes of God, because we will be so focused on what the kingdom is doing and the kingdom plans are, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we decree that our windows are up. They're, yeah, tight. We're, that snakes will not come into our sanctuary. We block it now. We say the window, we'll hit the button. The windows are automatically up now in Jesus' name. And we command the snakes to fall off. Any parts of our ministry that have been affected by anything, yes, that was not Holy Spirit, fall off now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you and praise you. Give you all the glory, Lord. Amen. Well, it's 8:30.
Anybody else have anything?
Go ahead, Matt.
This was a little unusual, and I was just waiting to see how the meeting unfolded to kind of get the interpretation of what I felt the Lord was giving me. But, you know, I saw a stirring tongues, initially a steamroller, and I just felt the Lord was saying that this is a season of pressing, and that we're not to fear the pressing and the pressure, because he's working things out of us, and that we will actually ferment under that pressure into fine wine, and that he wants us to be, but that can only come through practicing peace under pressure. Otherwise, we'll be worn out. And that we cannot be dismayed, but we need to keep taking thoughts captive and keep confessing what we know to be true. And as we do so, our mind will be reset and reshaped into the mind of Christ. And that it's a mindset of joy under pressure and joy in the midst of the war. And that's the fine wine that he's after. And then I saw the body of Christ, really just like as a skeleton, but it was a skeleton made of diamonds after the kind of the steamroller had gone past. And it was the Lord was saying out of this hardness will come strength and beauty. And the thing is, the steamroller represented the kingdom of heaven. I felt that's what the Lord was, the final interpretation the Lord was giving me. It doesn't move quickly, and we're waiting on it and wanting the steamroller to move faster. But it's also going to steamroll the enemy. And there is that waiting of when Daniel was interceding for that 21 days until you know, Gabriel was released initially, and this went along with what Lehman, I believe was your name, who had an awesome word, was saying, that there's a sound and prayer in one dimension, and there's a delay into our dimension, and we have to outlast that in the way Deborah's daughter outlasted that snake, so to speak. So Lord, I just thank you that we are going to outlast. We're going to pray as Daniel prayed, Lord. And even though Gabriel came the first day, he continued to press in through prayer for those 21 days until Michael showed up. And Lord, we are going to continue to pray and to press in Jesus' name. And we are going to abide in the vine during this time of waiting, while we wait for your kingdom to manifest. And we will not care. We will not allow the thorns and the fears and deceit of this world to spring up in the meanwhile and choke us out. But we will stay firmly rooted in you, in what we know to be true, and in your presence. I decree and declare that in this season of waiting.
Thank you,
in
Lord. Jesus' name. Deborah Davis, will you give us something to close us out?
Yeah, and really just for the agreement, but I don't know if how many of you are familiar with what's going on in Maryland with this emergence of these cicadas.
Yeah.
These bugs that have been underground and are now, after 17 years, you know, kind of emerging. I mean, they're everywhere. There's pockets that are much heavier than others. But the other morning, you know, I think, you know, different intercessors here, we've been like, okay, what's the significance of this? What does it mean? You know, it feels a little Exodus-like. But I felt like I was supposed to look at Barbie Breathitt's dream book the other morning. And this is a definition for the cicadas. Says, and this is in relation to them being seen a dream, but I feel like this is so from the Lord. So cicadas are related to a harvest fly.
Yeah.
They live underground 13 to 17 years, developing a vast hidden network to suck the life and energy and juice from tree roots.
Oh boy.
They represent an undermining of leadership's foundational authority and support system. Their loud, proud chirps reveal their destructive presence. And right underneath it, there is what she calls a cicada hawk. It's like a hornet. And they actually kill cicadas that benefit the trees. It says it's a hornet-like killer that represents the removing of these cicadas so that you can actually stand tall and thrive again. And I really feel like what's going on, because Maryland is the epicenter for this. So in D.C. and Maryland, and they're so loud, I just feel that this is representing what we're hearing. There's such a loud noise. You know, it can be even hard to hear or think when you're in a pocket where they're really, really heavy. But I just, with this agreement with the 13 colonies, I just feel that the Lord wants to loose these hornets and to pull down this undermining, that whatever this hidden infrastructure is, that it's going to be fully exposed and unhidden. Is that okay? I'm going to go
ahead. Amen. Yeah.
Do you mind if I just pray that?
Go ahead.
So Lord, we just thank you, God, that you send signs and wonders, yes, so that we can see, hear, perceive, discern what it is that you are doing. And so, Lord, we come into agreement that this hidden network that is underground, that has been working, God, to undermine, yes, the authority structure, yep, in this nation, yes, over Washington, D.C., that which is rooted in the state of Maryland, God, we say that, yes, that support system, that structure that has been held in place We yank it down. We uproot it. We pull it down. And God, we loose on this call the hornets. God,
yes. Yes.
All the ice, God, so that we can take the land appropriately, God, and follow you to do exactly what you're calling us to do, God. We bless Washington, D.C. We bless the Capitol. We bless our Constitution. We bless the authority structures, God, that you have set up to protect the nation and the covenant that we have with you. And we decree in these 13 colonies, we say that we are in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, that his blood is covering over us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, that was awesome.
Amen. It's very interesting. It's very interesting that the bird that Darlene heard singing that we've been hearing in our yard, I taped it the other night, actually, and sent it to Chuck because it's so loud, is a Baltimore Oriole. And that's what's singing to us. And I believe it goes with your word, Kristen.
It does.
I really believe that this sound, that this Baltimore Oriole is releasing a sound to us to say we need to pray over this word about the cicada, because I agree with what you're saying. So we're gonna look into that.
I feel like I'm getting an interpretation, if you don't mind. When you were saying loud and proud, I just felt like the Lord was highlighting the LGBTQ movement, and it's the Antichrist structure that is sucking the life out of the proper ruling authority. The trees are really, they stand upright. They're proper authorities versus these things that are draining the life, and it's rebellious. Yeah. And the hornets to me seem to represent the angels. And it also says in scripture that the angel of the Lord went before the Israelites and pushed the enemy out as they went along. So Lord, right now in Jesus' name, we come against those Antichrist hordes of spirits in Jesus' mighty name. We come against those rebellious spirits, the LGBTQ and Antichrist spirit and structures in Jesus' mighty name. And we lose, Lord God, the hornets of God.
Yeah, they're angels.
The swarms upon swarms.
Hornet angels.
Legions upon legions of angelic hosts to uproot, dismantle, and utterly destroy every Antichrist structure and all of these hordes, these floods of ungodliness, which attempt to make us afraid. We will not be intimidated, and we will not back down. And we say, this nation, we decree and declare, will walk in its covenant plan that the Lord Jesus Christ has it, and the gospel will go to the ends of the earth in Jesus' mighty name.
Yeah. And Cheryl, I have another small piece.
Go ahead.
When Kristen was saying that they go after the roots and destroy the tree, I see this as, with the trees being for the healing of the nation, mm-hmm. this is the attempt to eat the righteous root and stop the healing process of the trees. Trees that are planted by the rivers of living water, but this is a particular assignment that goes after the root of righteousness to stop the healing of the nations.
Yes, yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
And I do feel, I'm hearing so many Christians say to me, why isn't God answering this? What's going on? All this stuff. And I believe that's what it's doing to the root. So break that, Deborah. Pray over this. Break that thing. And when we went to Jekyll Island recently, friends of ours from the Midwest that were praying for us on that journey, they loosed the hornet angels. That's what they loosed to go ahead of us. And so this hornet angel thing is also a very key thing. We need to begin to loose the hornet angels, because it drives out these ones that are not supposed to be in the land any longer. Don't be afraid to loose them. Go ahead, Deborah.
Amen. Well, Father, I just come as a Deborah. Lord, Deborah meaning bee.
Amen.
And Lord, how she represented a righteous judge.
And we come in the name and then in the authority of the one who is the righteous judge. And Lord, we're asking for just you to make an open show against this evil assignment, God, what is represented by the cicadas and a wanting to hide underground, to eat at the root of the healthy tree that is for the healing of the nations. We right now come in the name of Jesus and his authority, and we rebuke and renounce this assignment.
Thank you, Lord.
We say we forbid you to come against the root system of the righteous. We forbid you to come against the trees that are for the healing of the nations. And Father, we thank you that you can loose an angelic army, these hornet angels, God, to counter every work of this assignment of the cicada and what it represents in the spirit. And Lord, we thank you that you are uncovering what has been hidden in the ground. You have forced them up. You have forced them to be seen, forced them to be heard. And now, Father, that we understand what we war against, and you are showing your people how to stand firm and shut this down, shut the mouth of the enemy.
Amen.
Take authority over all this assignment of cicada and what is represented. So we come against it, we bind it in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, that you are exposing evil roots and you are giving your people the voice of authority in this land, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's awesome. Well, look, everybody, come on and bless everybody. It's been a great night.
Thank you.
If you got something and you didn't get to release it, send us an email.
Yes, I wanted to share something that was in the news today about cicadas. A very unusual thing. There was a store in Princeton, an ice cream store, that made ice cream, and they called a cicada. I don't know what was in it, but people flooded the store and ate all the ice cream. They ran out of it. And to me, this is an example of group contagion, of things that come along and people just fall for it. They just fall for whatever is a fad or whatever is new and different. And we as the body of Christ need to stand firm that we're not going to fall for whatever is seductive, whatever comes into our view or our environment, that we're going to call on the name of the Lord and walk with him through all kinds of things. Things that might appear sweet, they might appear attractive, but no, we're going to seek the Lord in our walk and refuse those things that are
so strange,
seductive, or not of him, in Jesus' name.